We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's your True Faith podcast. Southampton 1, Newcastle 2. An incredible result at St. Mary's down at midweek game. Down the bottom end of the country, you have Charlotte Robson, Norman Riley live from Southampton and Adam Widrington to talk you through it. Just before we do, a little reminder that if you hate adverts but you like us, we are ad-free on Patreon for £6.60 a month. Do join us there. You know, Newcastle United can't stop winning and we can't stop talking about it. So please do join us over on Patreon. There's heaps more content for you there. Let's get into it. Norman, you were there. You were there at St. Mary's tonight. Can we talk about the Bruno goal first? I know it's our second goal.
Yay.
I know it's not chronological, but talk me through it. What did it look like to you and how did the crowd go?
Right. What did it look like to me? I'll tell you what it looked to me. So obviously it comes from a corner, right? And it's the corner on the right-hand side. So we're in swinging my corners now, aren't we, with Target and Trippier would be, but I think you've obviously got Fraser putting in swingers in from the left-hand side with his right foot, and it's brilliant. I love an in-swinging corner, right? So the ball comes over, and there's like a kind of, I mean, this is, you know, this is split-second stuff, right? But it feels like a bit of a melee in the box. And the next thing, you know, the ball's in the net, right? And initially, because the reaction, you know, as I say, it's like, I think I put a tweet out saying it was like Mad Max Fury Road. Combined with the last days of Rome. I mean, this is ridiculous. There's going to have to be like a kind of a donation from the United States, like a Marshall Plan for that Southampton away end, because I think it was destroyed in about like sort of 20 seconds. It was, and I was like, I can't believe Shea scored again. I thought it was Shea, and because the way Bruno ran over, it was like reminiscent of Shea's kind of celebration. And physically, might just be me, but I've seen them both with their tops off. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, God Almighty, they're both ridge like turbo runs, and it's beautiful to see. It was Bruno, and it was a back heel. And it's like, yes, I was in the stadium when this happened. Yes, it was beautiful celebrating it. It was an incredible moment. But I have to be brutally honest with you, I thought it was Fabian Shea. And from where I was, you couldn't quite see that he back heeled in. I've subsequently seen repeats of it on celluloid, I believe they call it, don't they? They record things on. And I mean, it was just, it was frankly ridiculous. I'm glad I was there to celebrate it. But at the same time, I would be lying if I said it was beautiful when I saw it happen, because I didn't necessarily understand it. However, subsequently, as I say, I watched it, and dear Lord.
Having said that, Norman, I watched it on, I flew to South Africa and watched it legally in South Africa and then have come back for this evening. I watched it and I don't understand it. I saw it happen and I don't understand it. It's absolutely amazing. It's this gorgeous little like turn and flick, and just the confidence and then the celebration, the confidence of that. Adam, did you watch a stream?
I was able to watch the entirety of the game somehow. The back heel flick volley from the burn knockdown, as Norm said, from the Target in swinger, which went right above the head. It seemed like against Brighton, we got too many crosses too close to Sanchez. But, you know, that cross back to Dan Burn, he's such a threat, isn't he, from those set pieces, to just cushion it down. And I mean, a sumptuous back heel volley. It was delicious. My jaw dropped. I didn't know what I was like. Oh my! And I was looking around for someone to kind of celebrate with, and there was no one there. So I just went mental on my own. It was unbelievable. Like, what a moment for him as well. Like, a touch of class, and that was the difference maker. You know, that was the difference maker. A touch of class, something different, a moment of individual brilliance to keep this incredible run going. 6 wins out of the last 7, and unbeaten in 9, I believe now. It is just sensational form.
I've just seen a still of the moment where obviously he's just connected with the ball, and it's got like the position of his body just after he's back-heeled it, and it looks like choreographed. It looks like a choreographed dance. It's beautiful. It's a dance.
Electric.
It is. It's so wonderful. I fully expect to see it on, is it 2-hour shirt, Sad Las Wells, for next Christmas? I can't wait.
Matthew Bourne.
I think Matthew Bourne reinterpretation of Guimaraes' first goal. But you know what I like about the lad? I'll just say it quickly. He's got a touch of the Raj about him as well. Like, he's full-on pumped, getting the crowd up during the game. You know what I mean? He's like there. He's in the moment, and he's celebrating at the end of the match. As I see a top off, straight in, arms up in the air. I mean, this kid. I'm already falling for this lad, like, big time. Wow.
You could see it in his goal celebration as well, that kind of like, of course I scored. Have you seen me? That's like, that's how I interpreted his celebration of the goal. Like, oh, it was just mint. It was just so good. And we've waited for his start. We've seen him. We've been getting little teasers of Bruno, and to see what he really can do. And it is dancing. It is balletic. It is so exciting. I mean, let's talk a little bit more about that in the context of the wider team. I mean, this was technically not our strongest team, right? And what a position to be in. Adam, did you look at the team sheet today and think, I'm not 100% on that? Like, Joe Linton's not in it, and this has been our winning side, and there's a couple of changes. Like, what were you thinking?
I was a bit disappointed that Sam Axeman wasn't able to be involved. I'm a bit disappointed that Mankia wasn't maybe fit enough or selected to start ahead of Kraft. I thought he would have maybe given us a bit more solidity at the back. I was delighted to see Bruno get a start, because he's deserved it. He's been in the country long enough. He has been exposed to, you know, a fair few minutes as well. But again, it was almost a bit like when Lascelles was finally dropped. It was kind of because of an illness. And then it was, again, the only way that Joe Linton's kind of been dropped, or that he's dropped any of those midfield to accommodate Bruno, is again through illness. It's almost like the circumstances are kind of like leading Eddie Howe to these decisions less than maybe he's, you know, pushing for that squad rotation. And so I thought that was quite interesting again. But, you know, maybe I wondered if he would just maybe kind of play a stronger side tonight. I mean, again, the bench didn't look fantastically strong as it has been in recent weeks. But I wondered if he would maybe, you know, go a bit stronger for this game to rest up, you know, because it was a more winnable game. Chelsea, again, a difficult game at the weekend. We're going to need some fresh legs for that, because we're going to have to work really, really hard to come away from Stamford Bridge with anything at the minute. But yeah, I half expected a couple more changes, even if we didn't necessarily get the wholesale changes. I don't think that was ever on the cards. But yeah, regardless of whoever else started, I think Bruno getting his first start in the Premier League and putting in that kind of performance as well bodes really, really well.
I agree. And I just think it's just like really encouraging that you look at that team sheet and you think, oh, it's not our strongest team, but it's still a really strong performance. Particularly that second half performance today was just, you know, a team that wanted it, a team that was ready for it, and a team that was not going to let Southampton, bar the last sort of 5-6 minutes, have really any chances. And, you know, Martin Dubravka barely did anything until that last 10 minutes or stretch there. So I'm sure we'll talk about individual performances, but before we do, I want to talk about the collective. And the collective that I want to talk about is the 3,300 fans that went down to Southampton from wherever they live, most of them northeast, but not all of them, on a Thursday night to watch, still technically in a relegation scrap, although I think we can put that to bed now after tonight. Still technically in a relegation scrap at the time, Newcastle United. Norman, you were in that crowd tonight. You have told us off air that your throat feels like you're swallowing 1,000 razors. Talk me through it.
It was brilliant from start to finish. Plenty of singing, like a really good atmosphere as well, like a really good mood. It's funny because I was talking on the train on the way down with Ali and Sean about how I quite like 7:30 kickoffs, you know, 7:45, 8 o'clock, 7:15, which is what the Liverpool game was before Christmas. It's almost like a little bit too late. And by that point, you get the ground and you've had it, you know, you might have had a good drink. I didn't do too badly today. I limited myself to 4 pints. So a big pat on the back for me for that. you know, the slightly later kickoffs, you could probably neck a few more. And it can, sometimes it can be brilliant. You know, like a kind of drunk in the end and everyone's up for it. And there's a good crack going on. There's a good atmosphere. But sometimes, obviously, alcohol can make people a little bit, you know, a little bit more aggressive, let's say. And it can have like a, maybe there's a negative impact at certain points. But tonight it was like, it felt to me anyways, like absolutely harmonious. And I think, you know, that's probably, say something about the wider picture, right? You know, we all feel like we're going forward. We're all confident. There's a togetherness between the players, the manager, the fans. You saw it in the reaction at the end. You see it when they're out warming up. You see it when substitutes are warming up. You see it when Target comes across to take a corner, gives the crowd a hand clap. And the mood was brilliant. And there was more or less non-stop singing. And as I say, when the goals went in, outrageously good celebrations, scenes-type celebrations, which we love. Limbs, they call it, didn't they? Limbs. And I think one of the major things is that when we got a goal doing, it doesn't knock people's confidence. Like nobody is worried because it's almost a case of, you know what, I think we'll probably get something, yeah. And what you see is you see players fighting, you see an organised defence, you see players knowing their positions, and you see a team not being dominated, and you see a manager on the sidelines not panicking at a goal down, he's not frustrated, you know, he's there, him and Tyndall are solid, they're rock solid, aren't they? They're controlled, they're going to goal down, and it's like, all right, they start thinking, all right, how do we get out of this? Who do I need to pass instructions on to? Where do we go from here? And you have this belief, and it comes back up to the stands. And the moment we equalised, I personally thought that, well, we just don't concede 2 goals. We're not going to concede 2 goals. Like, we haven't done for a long time, but also we just haven't looked like we're going to concede 2 goals. So the moment we equalise, the confidence goes up even more. It's like, well, we're probably going to get at least a point here. So that keeps the crowd in a brilliant level. And ultimately, Southampton didn't threaten it until we went 2-1 up. And even then, the threat only came when they brought Jeanette Bowen with about 10 minutes left. So the crowd was brilliant. Perfect level of, you know, I would say drunkenness. I mean, I can only talk for myself and my friends, but obviously, I imagine there's a few other people that had been drinking as well. Just a hypothesis I've got based on previous experience. And it was absolutely perfect. And post-match as well, the atmosphere was great. I mean, it always helps when you win, but fans in full voice, beautiful. Really, really over the moon that I was there. One of my favourites for a long, long time, that was. Great win.
I mean, watching it on the stream, it was just, there was no Southampton noise, was there, Adam? It was just constant Newcastle noise. And then as soon as we got that second goal, it was just up the Premier League we go. I know my dad was listening on the radio and he was like, I don't know what it was like on the stream, but I think, you know, it was just Newcastle noise. It was just a joy from my perspective to hear.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Like, yeah, like you say, you could really hear the chants resonating through the TV, and the very fact that like over 3,000 Newcastle fans have gone on a Thursday night down to Southampton, which even from London is a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a trek as well. It's like, you know, you see a lot of clubs in the Premier League at the minute can't even fill their home stadium, and we're doing it at both ends, you know, we're doing it home and away. And yeah, it's maybe no surprise given the takeover and this run that we've gone on. But I'll tell you what, before we went on this run, we were selling out away ends anyway. So it is just this feel-good factor that's just we're taking around the country as we go and, you know, destroy the hopes and dreams of of fellow Premier League clubs.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Lots more to get into in the second half of the programme coming after these messages. If you hate the messages, join us on Patreon at £6.60. We'll be back in a second.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Part two of the True Faith podcast, celebrating another win from Eddie Howe's Newcastle United. That's how you have to do that now, don't you? You have to call the team the manager's team. That's the thing to do. Norman, let's talk about, I said before in the first half of the show that now I think we're 10 points clear of the relegation zone. We've got another win under our belt. We're on a great run of form. Surely we're staying up, right?
It's time to stop talking about relegation because it's not happening. We're not.
Yes.
We're not even in the equation. Like, I think we're 10 points clear of Burnley now.
We are.
With 11 games to go. It would be catastrophic. But, I mean, is there a word that goes beyond catastrophic? Because look at it like this, right? It's not like we're on 31 points and we are on a downward trajectory, right? It's not like we've got to like 24 points before Christmas and we've just stumbled our way towards the last 7 points and the team's disjointed, confidence is getting sucked out of them. I'm thinking, you know, along the lines of Everton Leeds here, right? Brentford, perhaps. I know that they didn't have as much as 24 points maybe before Christmas. Actually, Brentford may have done, but they're on downward trajectories, right? We're on 31 points and we're unbeaten in 9 games. Now, this is a team that, in order for it to get sucked back in the relegation, would have to have a spectacular collapse, and it's just not going to happen. Like, ultimately, I'm at the point now where I'm thinking, actually, Brighton are 2 points above her, Southampton are 4 points above her, Leicester are within touching distance. It's at a point now where my optimism is at the extent where I'm thinking, well, we need to be hopefully thinking about catching these teams, and I genuinely believe we can do it. I look at the fixtures that we have left, and there are some very tough games in there, but there are also very winnable games. We've got, 11 games to go? If we pick up four more, let's just say 4 more wins or, 12 more points, that takes us to 43 points. This season, 43 points probably will get you 11th or 12th. I firmly believe we can do that. And, okay, on paper, we can still get relegated, right? But on paper, we can still qualify for the Europa League. You know, that's it's equally as ridiculous, right? We're not going to qualify for the Europa League. We're probably not going to get relegated. We are ensconced in mid-table and hopefully what the thought process might be now is we just keep learning, keep moving forward as we are, keep improving, and maybe hit the top 10, and that would just be like, phenomenal. Look, even if we finish 16th, you know, we went on flip-flops on sort of end of the season, which I don't think we will, by the way, because every single player at that club knows that ultimately we're going to be going out with someone spending money, and we are going to be going for a big style. It's not like we're a club that's stagnating. Let's stay up, stagnate, stay up, that's enough, finish in April, down tools in March. That's not going to happen. But even if we did and we finished 16th, that would still be a miraculous achievement given where we were when Eddie Howe took over. So, yeah, we're not getting relegated. let's look at the top 10. But if we didn't finish there, it doesn't matter. We're fine. Are we?
Well, I mean, and Adam, I'll bring you in just a second because you did put your hand up. But like where we were in December, if we aren't relegated, we have made Premier League history. Like there isn't a team that was where we were in December that has stayed in the Premier League. And I just think, like, you can't see me. Well, Norman and Adam can see me, but, like, that just puts the biggest grin on my face. Like, Norman's correctly written in our chat box, it's house-tree. House-tree. Adam, did you want to opine? Well, if you unmute first, I think.
Let's go positive. Let's be, you know, let's dream. You know, Norman's saying, like, let's look up the table. Well, let's look up the table. Like, directly above us is Brighton, right? Same games played, only 2 points behind them. Think about the start of this season. The plaudits that Graham Potter was quite rightly getting. You know, they were fantastic. He was doing huge things with a less glamorous football club. But he was winning so many, you know, plaudits, like I say, at the start of the season. And now we're 2 points behind them. Look at Crystal Palace. Patrick Vieira's done a really good job there. Again, a lot of plaudits. He's, you know, he's come in from Hodgson, safe pair of hands, and he's taken it on, and not many people knew thought he might be able to do it. And again, if we win our game in hand on Crystal Palace, we go above them, and that's kind of where we're at. Crystal Palace are in 11th at the minute. You know, there's no reason we shouldn't be now be looking up the table and pushing and let's completely change the narrative of this season, this completely roller coaster, topsy turvy, tumultuous. Like, it's just been a crazy season. It's not even close to being finished, but to breach 30 points from where we were, and it's still like mid March. This is the stuff of miracles, man. Like you say, it's never been done before from the position we were at, and we're doing it in style.
Oh,
six
yeah.
wins out the last seven. That's title form. Do you know what I mean? That's completely unheard of. You know, and even look, the idea that now, and I'm fully with you both, we are not in a relegation fight anymore. That's it. We're gonna have the summer transfer window of a lifetime. In a few months' time, and it's going to be crazy, and things are going to kick off, and we're going to be the talk of, you know, the footballing world. Lots and lots of exciting times to come, but it's been only been possible through the very, very hard work of Eddie Howe, the coaching staff, and all the players buying into his vision and creating this almost unbreakable unity and momentum that every Premier League club that has tried to face us. Very good Premier League clubs in this little run that we've had can't do a damn thing about. They can't touch us. We march on. We keep going. No one can stop us. I'm buzzing.
I totally agree. I feel like we need to stand up and applaud that sort of end of that there. But let's drag this conversation back to tonight's game. Norman, let's talk some individual performances. Let's shout out some people. But first one I've got to shout out is Chris Wood got his goal. Chris Wood got his goal. Absolutely brilliant. Wonderful cross by Shelby. Absolutely perfect. And Chris Wood got his first goal. Talk us through that, if you will.
Brilliant to see, because obviously Shelby, and I said this on the post-match video I just did, that he was really at fault for their first goal. He lost the ball in the centre of midfield. He tried a bit too clever. Look, hold that against him, obviously not, because what it shows is a player who's full of confidence, right? And the fact that he tried that is testament to where his confidence is at. And also, you know, Shelby came out after the game against Brighton and said that he wasn't pleased with his performance and gave a public apology, which I thought was, I mean, really admirable, but totally unnecessary. But at the same time, that wouldn't have happened under Steve Bruce, right? John Joe Shelby wouldn't have come up and said, I'm sorry, I played poorly. This is a player who cares about Newcastle United. He's an interview subsequent to the takeover. Have shown us how much he cares. And he made that error tonight. They scored, but he didn't let his head drop. Just got straight back on with it. Putting tackles in, laying passes out, making himself available, and then putting in just a frankly spectacular cross for the very epitome, much like Jonathan at Brentford, a towering header. And oh my God, Chris Wood. When Chris Wood scored, if anyone listens to the Patreon Matchday podcast, you can hear the joy in mine and Sean, who was with us, voices. And people next to it, the fact that it was Chris, was that Wood? Everyone's delighted for him, because people who've been watching him play for Newcastle since he signed have understood exactly what he's brought to the team, right? He's brought the experience, the fact that he can go up against two or three centre-halves and bruise them, which frees up space for other players. You know, he tires centre-halves out. He tires defences out. He makes himself available all the time. He really loses an aerial duel. And also, what I noticed tonight for the first time, kind of watching him a bit closer than I normally would, is that he talks a lot. He points his arms out. He puts players in position. He was giving Joe Willock loads of advice on where Joe Willock ought to have been running, what space he should have been going into. So he's become a very important player. And again, much like a few players in the squad, I feel like Chris Wood may not be in 3 years' time, but ultimately in the short space of time he is here, he could become a cult hero. And 5, 6, 10 years down the line, we'll look back and go, Chris Wood was sound, wasn't he? You know, we'll be happy that he signed a Newcastle and played over. Delighted from brilliant goal.
No, I totally agree, Norman. I think he's absolutely deserved his goal from, you know, the last few performances that he's put in. And just a shout out to the ball from Shelvey, to put it, that ball in between Salisu and Bednarek, and for Wood to read that and position himself to know where that's going, made that goal look so easy, but it wasn't. That was down to footballers doing very clever things in a very short space of time, in a split second, instinct, boom, goal. And, you know, it's almost like he's been trying too hard a bit, because and I feel like that goal, that lack of goal has been hanging over him, but that'll give him the world of confidence. And like I say, I really loved his enthusiasm and attitude tonight. He really looked up for it. He came looking for the ball. He wanted to be involved. And I think, I keep saying every week, his link-up play with Willock improves every game. Like, their understanding together and chemistry is really important. And like Norm says, the fact that, you know, maybe he's not here in like 2-3 years' time, but I think he plays such an important function in the system. You know, someone to lead the line is an outlet for long balls. He does win a lot of headers. He can use his physicality to disrupt defenders, as Norman said. And yes, he does a pretty decent job of pressing as well. Like, he's a lot more mobile than I kind of ever thought he might be. Like, I think his application is there, and I'm really, really pleased that he's finally off the mark for us, because I think he can now go and net a couple. There's no reason he can't. He's got his goal. Fantastic finish.
Totally agree with you. We've all just been waiting for that goal, that first goal, to sort of break the seal, if you will, for him, and now he's got it. I think we've got lots more goals coming from Chris Wood, which is really exciting. Norman, let's talk about other players who you think deserve a shout out. Probably every player on the pitch, but I know that there's a few you've got in mind, so let's talk about them.
First performances to mention are Emile Kraft and Jacob Murphy, both of them much maligned, players who maybe in 12 months' time will not be at the club, but ultimately they both put shifts in tonight. And particular congratulations to Emile Kraft for his shithousery. He's great at wasting time. He did that on numerous occasions. Jacob Murphy at one point absolutely put Salisu on his backside, which is no mean feat. But the three players I want to talk about with great enthusiasm are Dan Byrne, Ryan Fraser and Joe Willock. Fraser and Willock, particularly because of the amount of running they put in, it was insane. Fraser was running through the centre midfield at one point. He was like genuinely like watching Maradona run through the midfield. It was so perfect. Joe Willock was so done by the end of the game that when the final whistle went, he just collapsed on the floor. The graft he put in was unbelievable. And Dan Byrne, I mean, wow. Just wow. The tower of power. Dan Byrne, baby Byrne. Dan Byrne, baby Byrne, a.k.a. the Tower of Power, a.k.a. Dan Byrne. The man is outrageous. And again, just like nothing gets past him. And even a couple of times they did manage to get past him. What he does is he kind of almost reads. Like, let's say he goes in for a tackle, misses it, the player gets around him. But he kind of reads that direction and he gets the second tackle in. He may well not win the first ball, but he always gets back in with the second ball. And he's just a leader. But yeah, those three for me were absolutely superb. Fraser and Willock in the second half, when obviously Howe had decided that we needed to press them a bit higher, those two led that press. They really did. And again, it's just yet another performance by two players who had lost their way completely under Bruce. And the last few weeks, the pair of them, I mean, both of them kind of deserve to be nominated for Premier League Player of the Month. Have been incredible in the work game tonight. So I loads of performances to praise, but for me, those three in particular stood out.
Yeah, and I think, Adam, you wanted to sing a few praises to Willock.
I thought Joe Willock was our best player tonight. I really do. I think his attitude, he encapsulated everything that was good about our performance. I think in many ways, he led by example with the rest of our players. I thought our pressing strategy was excellent. I thought it really looked like everyone really knew what they were doing. His willingness to get forward and drive and his energy, so important. And then you look at that last ditch tackle at the very end from Shea Adams where Dubravka smothered it. But Willock was in there, like throwing his body in the way, as so many of the other players were. But for me, it was just Willock was everywhere and he continues to improve and to carry on this form that we saw at the end of last season. And he's now getting into his stride again. He always said that he backed himself, but I just thought again tonight, he was the best player for us. I really, really enjoyed it. And just a quick word on Bruno's all-round performance. Obviously, I think he got a bit of cramp, which took him off after about an hour, but I just thought his general play, you know, he showed really good vision and technique, and he was just really composed. There was little flicks here and then. Yes, some of them didn't come off, but I mean, just to go along with his goal, I thought, you know, for his first start in English football, to have that kind of impact and to show such classy touches and to have such a difference to that final result, just really, really pleased for him. Again, that'll lift him so much that, you know, he's been waiting for this debut, his full proper debut, and he's come off the pitch a match winner, and played such an important role in that. I just think he's going to go from strength to strength. His midfield play, I thought in the second half, he really helped us start that second half in the way that we needed to. We were losing at the end of the first half. We were really letting Southampton dominate us, but we really battled back in midfield in that second half. It was straight out the traps after half time as well. I thought that was crucial, and everyone, that sort of front sort of line, that sort of pressing line as well, with Shelvey and Bruno in behind, were really, really good. We worked very well as a system, and Bruno was an integral part of that, I thought.
I agree, and I just think watching today's team, just the spirit change and the mood among the players. These are team players. You know, this isn't a group of men who are doing their job and going home, or just like a little bit like this is a team. And you know, it's clearly the ethos in the back room. These photographs that are, you know, that get sort of jokes made out of on social media by not Newcastle fans, they encapsulate it. Yes, we're going to take a picture every time we finish a game because and don't lose, because we are a team who has worked together. Everyone's in that picture. Everyone's in that picture. And it's just, it is a snapshot, but it's a snapshot of like what this means to everybody right now and where we are right now. Very, very quick mention, have to, for Martin Dubravka, because although he wasn't too busy towards the end of that game, for most of that game, towards the end, that last 10 minutes, that last sort of 12 minutes when Southampton were really, really pressing, they brought, I can't remember who they brought on, Norman, you mentioned before, but they brought someone on and they were pressing
Gineppo, high. Was it?
Say again?
Was it Gineppo?
Yes, sorry. They brought Gineppo on and they were pressing higher and they were really, really wanted a point. They did not want to lose that game, to not win that game today. And Dubravka made two absolutely exceptional saves that saved our 3 points. And it would be remiss, I think, if we did not cram that into this podcast. Norman, did you want to add?
Oh, yes, please. You're completely right. And Dubravka, this is a goalkeeper who really hasn't had much to do for like 2 months. That's the truth of the matter, right?
Yeah.
He hasn't.
Yeah.
But when he was called on tonight, when we were under the cosh, when Southampton were really present, and as you say, as we mentioned, Gineppo really made a difference when he came on, the fresh legs, the dynamism on the left-hand side. Dubravka stood up. And look, again, Dubravka's one of those players you think, well, you know, he's getting towards his mid-30s. We were linked with Henderson early, late, like sort of during the transfer window. There may well be another goalkeeper coming in. Does Dubravka have a long-term future at the club? Who knows? But ultimately, this is a player who clearly loves Newcastle United. And every single time he's been called upon, he's been fantastic. And he was tonight. Like, as I say, almost 2 months of twiddling his thumbs, and he was bloody brilliant when he had when he was called on tonight. Yeah, fantastic to see. Big love for Big Dubs.
I think I echo that, Norman, as well, and Charlotte. I think there are a couple of lessons to learn from Eddie from tonight. Obviously, so many positives to take from this, and the team spirit and the belief and, you know, a professional performance, disciplined as well. But I thought, you know, that period in the end of the first half where I think there was large gaps between our defence and midfield, and the likes of Armstrong and El Yunusi were really kind of running wild and getting in between and causing us problems, and they were trying to overload our fullbacks as well. That kind of worked for the goal that they scored. But, you know, Armstrong was particularly good for them, I thought. He was a constant thorn in our side. He always seems to be every time we play against him. But I think what we did well, Eddie Howe, again, whatever he said at my half time, we seemed to we closed shop a little bit better in the second half, and we got those banks of four or five back again, and we were once again very difficult to break down. But I think Eddie Howe will be looking at that and why they got so much space and really started to overrun us. We did well to come back. They're always going to be dominant, but yes, maybe a few things to work on before Chelsea.
And they're always, and that's the thing, Adam, isn't it? That you just know Eddie Howe is going to be working on them. He's going to be digitizing those notes and making sure that they are being worked on beforehand.
Mini disc. I reckon he puts them on mini disc.
It's because he's a classy man. He knows his stuff. I love him. I love mini discs.
And the sound quality is amazing.
Absolutely incredible. Okay, well, I think that's just about us done for this evening. We've got onto the mini disc chat, which is typically the time that we stop.
I've just started.
We're only getting started. I will note that there was a tweet out before who fumed about Wilson and ASM being available for a rescheduled game instead. We are still missing them, and they have KWP, Salisu, and Adams in. Who would have missed that game? Shut up, Ralph. still managed though, didn't we? So very happy to round this one off. Thank
wrecked
you so much,
it, Ralph.
What?
Wrecked it, Ralph.
Wrecked it, Ralph. Love it. Perfect. All right, we'll round this off. Thanks so much for listening. We have all kinds of stuff on our Patreon platform pre-Chelsea. We've got match day on from tonight, and we will be back after Monday night, I think, after the Chelsea game on Sunday. Hopefully another win under our belt, or at least not another loss. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.